I've been bumped today in terms of preaching, and we've got a special guest with us today who's not guest at all, but really family, and more than family. Our campus pastor is going to come and speak to us today. Now, our campus pastor, you normally hear from our campus pastor when we're away and on holidays, and I don't often get live to hear our campus pastor because of all the other responsibilities that she carries here in our house. But today, we're very privileged to have Pastor Mara Shell come to stage and to preach the word to us today. I love the voice that she brings to our church, but not only that, the weight that she carries in terms of leadership and looking after people in our church. So very excited to introduce Pastor Mara Shell to come today to preach the word. Why don't you stand to your feet? Give her a big welcome. Give her a big welcome online as she comes to speak today. Thank you.
Good morning, church. How wonderful is it to be in the house of God today? Yeah. I can see so many faces. I am so glad. There's, you know, like I said a couple of days ago, the church is coming back strong. Yeah. Yeah. Coming back strong. Yeah. And I just, give yourself a round of applause. Yeah. It's good to see so many faces and just coming back. And it's just been an amazing time of worship this morning. And I don't know about you, but I'm so excited to share the word of God with you today. I know normally Pastor Tony and Cheryl are away on holidays and I get to share the word of God, but today they're in the house. So, you know, I have to behave myself. But yeah, it's a privilege, always a privilege to be sharing the word of God with you today. Well, I want to say thank you to the people that are online this morning. You're watching. You know, thank you for being with us. And I hope that you'll find the same presence here and as it's articulated there on the screen. So, yeah, thank you so much. Well, today I want to talk about a specific topic. Now, Pastor Tony has been speaking of the theme Kingdom Come. Has everyone been enjoying that series?
Yes!
I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot from that, and there's a lot of practical insights and inputs for practical living. And if you haven't been here, you know, this is a good thing about technology and online, you can actually replay it back. Yeah. So for those of you who have missed one of those series, please make sure you avail yourself. It's on YouTube, and then you can watch that then. Well, I'm going to continue on the same theme because that's what a good campus pastor would do. Yeah. I'm going to continue on that same theme and pattern. But there's a specific thing that God's been speaking to me about the kingdom. And it's part of the kingdom, and I want to talk to you today about joy.
Awesome.
About joy. Is everyone excited about joy?
Yeah.
The last couple of months, I preached a couple of sermons, and I don't know if you remember it. Does anyone remember what I preached on? It's pretty heavy stuff, right, you know, repentance and surrender. So today I get to preach something on life but still relevant about the kingdom, and that is joy. You know, when we think about joy, it can be misconstrued as someone always smiling, always have a smile on your face, you know, always laughing, there's not a care in the world. And, you know, that's what joy would look like to some people. You know, I've met a few people that they wait for something to happen to them for them to have joy and to be happy. But that's not what joy really means. You know, joy is a disposition.
Yes.
Joy is a posture. Yes. Joy is a decision in the face of feelings of discouragement, despair, and defeat. So it means joy is an attitude of the heart.
Yeah.
You know, in the season that we're in, I think there's been a lot of anxiousness and a lot of confusion and restlessness and heaviness and anger and discouragement, that we forget that joy is in our DNA.
Yeah.
Joy is in our DNA. And I think it's about time that joy, we can have joy amongst the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we need joy You know, the Bible says in His presence there's fullness of joy. We just finished a time of worship this morning. I really enjoyed that. And, you know, God says in His word that He inhabits the praises of His people. You know, I'm going to give you a couple of scripture. It says to remind you that God inhabits the praises of His people. It's in Psalm 100 and verse 1 to 5. It says, shout for joy, with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with singing and with joy.
Yeah.
And we did that today. I hope you felt the presence of God this morning. So let there be joy in the house today.
Come on.
Can I see you all smile? Smile. Can I show your teeth? Psalm 30 verse 5. It says, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favour lasts a lifetime. I don't know if you have ever been angry, but I'm sure it's not a moment. Could be days. Could be days. And I'm so glad it says here that His anger lasts only a moment, but His favour lasts a lifetime.
Yeah.
Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. So I don't know about the weeping that you've been doing or whether there's some sadness in your heart today. Well, you know, the promise of God says today is that there's joy that comes in the morning. So it's time, church, to wash our face and to look up and see the King. See the King, because He sure wants to see us. So let us pray this morning, just a quick prayer. Lord, we started this series saying, you know, when you pray, say, kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, I pray right now for every single person that's in this room this morning under the sound of my voice and the people that are watching online. I pray for your kingdom to come in their lives, in their living room, Father God, wherever they find themselves in, that the kingdom of joy will be present in their midst today. That, Father, that the spirit of heaviness will be lifted today in Jesus' name. And I declare that. Amen and amen. Well, let's look at the book of Romans, which is a foundational text that I have this morning. And if you have, you know, a notebook, I would encourage you to, you know, start, you know, take notes. It's a good thing to do, to take notes. I can see Pastor taking notes. Maybe later it's going to critique me. But anyway, this is my foundational text for this morning. It's in Romans 14:17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Another translation that I like to put up there is in the Message Bible. It says, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. I love that. It's what God does with your life as He sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. With joy. You know, we need to look at that context of Scripture, because what Paul is talking about in that Scripture is about the food being served to idols. And if you read previous in those verses, it was talking about that, and people were bickering and arguing, or, you know, that's food and that's not good to eat and everything. So, you know, I just want to say on that onset is that the kingdom of God is not about externals. The kingdom of God is about internals. What counts in the kingdom of God is not the external regulations, but the eternal realities. That is the main point of that scripture that was Paul's talking about. It's all about making us better people and better disciples. So as a disciple, we need to be clearly and distinctively different to others. Not weird.
Not weird.
We've talked about weird before. So it's not weird. It's just distinctively different.
Right.
There's got to be something different about you when people see you. Is there an amount of joy, amount of like happiness, and amount of just just a beaming, shining, really. That's what we're trying to say with that. So the kingdom of God, let's look at that scripture again. The kingdom of God is not what you eat and drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're good with maths, anyone good with maths? Oh, man, that's a bit of... You would understand that the Apostle Paul just articulated that from that scripture that a third of God's kingdom is called joy. Did you know that? For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So I'm going to give you 3 points this morning that actually comes from that text, so it's easier to remember. So the first point I want to make this morning is that the kingdom of God is about righteousness. You know, righteousness is the state in which make a person acceptable to God. How, you might ask? Because it involves the king who paid the price for our sins. Yeah. So we could have righteousness, meaning the right standing with God because of the blood that was shed on the cross on the day of Calvary. You know, joy is a natural response to a reality established in a relationship with God that we experience through his son, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, and it's not there. Is it? Anyway, I'll read it to you. How, you might ask, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, you are right with God today. And I am so glad that he have made me righteous, that I have been made righteous. You know, we didn't get saved by our works or good deeds. We are saved because Jesus died in our place. We are not here because we deserve it. We are saved because of his sacrifice. Jesus imputed, now that's a big word, which is another terminology of saying that he credited his righteousness to our bank account. We were bankrupt before. Today, we're not seen by our failures, our mistakes and our sin. Today we are seen by the finished work of Jesus. Because Jesus has conquered sin and death in the flesh, I am called the righteousness of God. Why don't you declare that with me this morning? I am the righteousness of God. Come on, say it with a bit of conviction and confidence. I am the righteousness of God. You need to believe that. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are the righteousness of God because Jesus has already paid the price. You don't need to do anything but just receive it. Have you ever given a gift to someone and they just said, oh no, I can't take that. Oh, you shouldn't have. I said, really? Why don't you say thank you? Yeah. Pet hate. So if I give you a gift, just say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. TIA, thanks for the name. So, yeah, so Jesus has given us a gift. A gift.
Yes.
And he wants you to take it. When you have the righteousness of God, you have peace with God. That's why it says the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace, because righteousness produces peace. You know, there was no peace between God and man before Jesus came. You know, Jesus didn't make a down payment or lay-bite it. He didn't put it on zip pay or afterpay or harm or anything like that. He paid the whole price. He paid the whole price. So I am so happy that he paid the whole price. You know, there's a song in that. You know, during when I was preparing the sermon, there was a lot of songs that's been kind of reverberating. Is that a word?
Yeah.
In my heart. And like, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what are those words? What are those songs and everything? And I must acknowledge when I was growing up as a Christian, I live with a couple in our church, and they're not here today, they're online. So John and Fran Carrop, if you're watching online, I just want to acknowledge you. You've been a spiritual parent to me, and you have modelled a good way for me to be a follower of, a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And I just thank you for that. And, you know, where I am today is because of what you've invested in. And, you know, there's a couple of people like Diane and Warren, you know, I've lived with them and stuff. And so I've grown up with some right modeling of what a fully devoted follower of God is. And, you know, John, I used to wake up, you know, like 5 o'clock or whatever, and I can hear them in the kitchen table and they're praying together, and he has a guitar. He has a guitar, you know, and when he worships, and because we lived in a wooden floor, he does this, like that, you know. He was just banging on the guitar and everything, and he's worshiping. And he sang this song, and I don't know, for most of you, probably the mature age people that are in this place.
Careful.
In this place today would remember this song. So if you know this song, don't leave me in the lurch. Please sing along with me. It says, this is how it goes. He paid a debt he did not own. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Now I sing
a brand new song. Amazing grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. The singing pastor. No, but that's, you know, the millennials are going, what on earth is she singing? But you would understand there's some truths in that song. A lot of truth, the simple truths of the fact that he paid a debt he did not owe. And we could not pay back.
Right.
And so, you know, Jesus didn't say, well, I'll be back. You know, he didn't say like what Arnie would say. But, you know, so I'm so thankful that when he was on the cross, he uttered the words, it is finished. I'm so thankful that he has finished it.
Yes.
I am
yes.
The righteousness of God.
Right.
You know, joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is dependent on our conviction and our confidence that comes from being in right relationship with God. We have access to God's boundless joy, a joy that does not come from our circumstances or within ourselves. It does not depend on how strong or spiritual we are. But this joy comes from God alone and the relationship we have with him. So today, if you're not right with God and you're not in right standing with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message for you to be right with him.
Great.
I was reading some articles and some journals throughout the weekend. This is what I read, and I just want to read to you because it's got so much truth in it. The task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, in our families, in our schools, and even in our finances. Because God in Christ is king over every one of the spheres of life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to be evident in this world before Christ comes is if we make it obviously clear by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the King. We are citizens of heaven. We have an, you know, kingdom. We're talking about kingdomology and humanology. So that's kingdom is all about righteousness. When you have the righteousness of God, you have peace with God, which is my next point. The kingdom of God is about peace. You know, joy has a context. If you're going to experience great joy, there's got to be a great trial. In James 1:2, it says, Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Who put that scripture in there? I mean, why would you consider it pure joy to have trial? Oh, I don't know, but there's so many things. One of the things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven is, God, why'd you put that in there? So peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. You know, this pandemic, and I know we're sick and tired of hearing about the pandemic, but, you know, the pandemic has really rocked people's peace. It made people restless, anxious, concern for the future. It made people weary, afraid. People lost hope, and it's soul destroying. What people have put their peace on has been rocked and has been shaken. And I know, you know, some of the things that we put our peace on, our peace, you know, when it's shaken, it's meant to rattle. So I was talking to one of the people in our church yesterday and says, you know, the kingdom of God, you know, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So if your faith shakes, then what does that tell you? Yeah. If you are rocked easily, then what does that tell you? We need to go deeper and stronger. So, you know, the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, that there will be something else that will rock us. If it's not the pandemic, it'll be something else, like a trial and tribulation. But so we need to understand that these things will happen, and it will affect us. It will affect us. It will cause us to lose hope, to be sidetracked, to lose our peace, to lose our joy. And it will cause us to retreat and isolate and hide from people that actually love and care about us. And that is humanology if you do that. But right now, I don't know what your state, what you're going through right now. And obviously some people are, you know, it's not just a pandemic, but, you know, God wants you to do it not the humanology way, but the kingdom way. Always. He just wants you. He wants to see you. He wants us to gather, to connect. So whatever storms has been raging in your life right now, I want to speak peace over that circumstances. I want to speak peace, calm. Because the kingdom of God is about peace. We need to anchor our peace in the hope of circumstances being different, but in the reality of God, that God is always with us, and that is kingdomology. Psalm 46:46. I want to read to you in the Passion Translation, such a beautiful illustration. This is what it says. God has constantly flowing river, sparkling streams bring joy and delight for his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. We have an unshakable kingdom, church. We have unshakable kingdom. The kingdom of God is both an eternal kingdom and an internal kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven is within you and I. Peace is one of the signs of God's presence. Do you have peace today? It's all going to be all right. Have you read the back of the book of your Bible? We actually win. Peace. Let me give you a couple of examples about what his presence gives us. His presence gives us joy. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." His presence gives us stability. And His presence provides us security. You know, I've been challenged by over the last month, and God has been reminding me that, you know, that peace and joy are actually the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, I don't know what's going on in my technology, but anyway, I'm going to read it to you. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The struggle's real. The struggle's real. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So this is what, you know, when we talk about we'll be better disciples and better people of God, is, you know, what's your fruit like? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Patience? Patience? Oh my goodness, patience? Okay, you can tell that I'm not a patient person. We're doing some renovations at the moment in our laundry. Amazing husband that I have. He's really domesticated and he's really good with stuff. And it's been 5 weeks. 5 weeks. 5 weeks! But you know what? God gave me Daryl because I'm not a very patient person. He's a very patient man. So therefore we complement each other, and that because I just want everything quick. Come on, hurry up. It's 5 weeks. Come on, like, you know. And I know there are some patient saints out there. People are, you know, waiting for how many years to get their kitchen renovated. But, hey, I'm just saying 5 weeks as opposed to 5 years. Saying. But anyway, I'm saying that, you know, God is working through me in that part of department. The fruit is still bearing fruit, if you know what I'm saying. So, the kingdom of God is all about righteousness and peace. Now, the next part is the kingdom of joy. Oh, what's going on in here? So there. Swipe left. This way. I'm going to keep going. I won't worry. Forget about that. The kingdom of God is joy. You know, the kingdom of God is joy. I'm joyful today, regardless of the technology. Come on. Christmas is nearly upon us. As some would call it, it's a silly season. And it's supposed to be the season of joy. The people of God are supposed to be one of the joyous people that we see in the world. And hopefully this time around we're not going to be quarreling about in a toilet paper aisle trying to find some, you know, toilet paper. Or it could be hams or something like that this time around, you know, or some turkey rolls or something. You know, so we're just going to, it brings out the joyous things of the year and silly season. But for some people, you know, Christmas is just another day. You know, it's not joyous, particularly joyous for them. And, you know, but can I encourage you today that you can still choose joy?
Yeah.
You can choose joy in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of crisis and circumstances, because it's not discriminatory. So don't anchor your joy in humanology, but let's anchor our joy in kingdomology.
Right.
Now, I'm going to pick on someone today, Pauline. Pauline, you're an amazing woman of God. I too have grown up with you in that sense, and we've been knowing each other for 28 years. And you have such a joyful disposition. And I don't know about you, but whenever Pauline laughs, it's so infectious. Can you hear that? It's so infectious. You can't help it, but just to smile. And I'm sure if you've spoken with Pauline that her life has had some twists and turns, but she chooses joy.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for you, Pauline. You are an amazing woman of God, and I love you. I call her Auntie Pauline, and used to call, you know, when we were younger, that, you know, that movie, was it called Dumb and Dumber? And so, little old lady, like, but it's an inside joke. But, you know, yeah, Pauline, this is amazing. No, I can't concentrate now because of that movie. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, you should really see it. You know, we need to quit. Okay, this is serious, guys. We need to quit blaming the devil for our lack of joy. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's your decision. You know, we give away too much credit on the devil when it's really your decision that got you there. Very quiet in this room. But anyway, what reigns in your life? Hello. What reigns in your life determines your joy. When the king is enthroned in your heart, you belong to the kingdom of joy. If you are going to have a kingdom of joy, then you need to have the right king on the throne. Some people are miserable right now. You know, meet any miserable people? Because they're looking for joy in all the wrong places. And there's a song, and I'm not going to sing it because there's someone in the front row trying to hum something, but they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for joy and peace in all the wrong places. You will never have joy unless you have the right king in the throne of your heart. We must remember who the king is. Now, there's some political stuff here. We just voted a few weeks ago. And this morning, my daughter Hannah came to me at about 6:30 and said, Mom, guess who won? I said, oh, really? Like, you know, whatever. You know, the Queensland people previously, you know, is spoken. Now, the people of America has also just voted as well. So whatever your political persuasion is, I'm not here to talk about that. But we must remember who the king is. Our king is not a Democrat. Our king is not a Republican. Our king is not liberal. Our king is not Labor. Our king is not Greens or Independent or any sort of things. But our king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is not voted. He is not elected. He is not selected. But he is the king. He is the king. So while people are still in limbo, we have the ultimate king that has not left the throne. There's a story in the Old Testament of God's people after hundreds of years of exile. It's found in Nehemiah 8-10. And basically, the story is that they returned to their homeland to find the city of Jerusalem in ruins. And Nehemiah was leading the rebuild. They worked hard to rebuild the city, the temple, and to reestablish the economy, pretty much like what we're doing now. They rebuilt the walls of the city, but still had a lot of work to rebuild the economy. Nehemiah wanted to encourage the people, so he had Ezra the priest read and explain God's word to them. The people wept and mourned as they listened and understood God's word. So Nehemiah listened to the weeping and mourning of the people and thought, we have to do something about this. So he could feel the strength of the people fading due to their emotional state. I want to read to you in Nehemiah 8:10. It says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, and priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, one of the greatest truths that you will ever come into your life is that the truth of the strength in life comes from the joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. If you want to have strength in your life, if you want to have vitality in your life, if you want to be fat and green in your life, we've talked about that in the previous sermon, you know, fresh and green. If you want to get back up and moving forward in life, then we need to know that the strength is in our joy. Joy comes when we celebrate and connect. In Acts 2:46, this is what it says in the early church. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. For the people that are in Connect Group, we have joy and generosity. We had food, like we don't even touch the food, but it's just the sharing and the encouraging and the connecting is so good because we celebrate and connect because there's joy can be found in that. There's strength that can be found in that when we connect. That is why connecting is so important. You'll hear me all the time harping about connect groups because it is important. It is the culture of our church. That is why celebrating is important. Now, if anything know about me, I love parties. I love celebrating. I love plenty of food. I love to be lavish. I love to, you know, to be extravagant. Food is never an issue when you come to my house. There's like three full cupboards and people going, Maz, if we have a, you know, whatever that thing where you just hide and the end of the world or something like that, I'll just come to your house because you've got plenty of food. Apocalypse. There you go. So, you know, connect groups is so important in our church. In connect groups, that is where you are empowered, equipped, encouraged and cheered on. Joy is our superpower. And, you know, kingdomology means is to live open and expansive lives. 2 Corinthians 6:11 says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you on how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. It says, open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. So we are to live open and expansive lives. That's the encouragement for us today. Let's stop grieving and the heaviness and the mourning. You know, this is not a time to mourn. It's a time to rejoice. This is a sacred day, not a solemn day. Sacred is not solemn. Sacred was called not to be sad or serious. Sacred was called to celebrate God's goodness. Sacred was a call to cheer each other on. I hope you are cheering each other on. Whether, you know, during the week, you know, be calling to somebody and, you know, give them some encouragement. And, you know, church is not, can I say this, is not a solemn place. It's not a solemn place. It is a sacred place where we celebrate the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and we cheer each other on. Sometimes we get it so wrong, thinking that church is serious and solemn place. The question I want to ask each and every one today is that, how did we take something that was intended to be so magnificent and make it so miserable? Why are we miserable? Celebrate with choice food and sweet drinks. Share hospitality with others. Cheer the teams on. Thank you. We just cheered this morning. You know, our service team, our worship team, our, you know, every team, hospitality team, kids team, every team, our sound and data team. We cheer each other on because we know that strength comes from that, to celebrate people. You know, we need to press into the worship. Cheer the preaching. Come on. Cheer greeting. Not just me, but when Pastor Tony gets up here, cheer him on. Respond to the word of God with a glad heart. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Our strength is in our joy. You know, last month it was Pastor's Appreciation Month, and I don't know if you know about that, but you know, we used to make a big deal out of it in church, but you know, I still make a big deal out of it, but it's just different this year. And you know, because we know that strength comes in joy.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like, you get discouraged and you get kind of feel, you know, depressed sometimes. But no, serving the Lord, I'm just saying, serving the Lord gives us great joy. But what I'm talking today is there's a strength in that. There's a strength in that. The kingdom of God is about strength. Because why? Why would we celebrate these things? Because we need strength for the journey. We are empowered to complete what God has called us to do when we choose joy. We all need to take responsibility to set the culture, the atmosphere in the room, the weather around us, in our homes, in our work, church. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Don't measure the climate, but control it. You know, here in this auditorium, we control the climate in the fact that there's air conditioning here. You know, when it's too hot, we press it, you know, to cool down. Truth is, we always control the atmosphere either by our passion or our apathy. Lean in and add strength. Have a posture that is positive and full of praise. Be a celebrator. Cheer it on. Be a giver. Be a contributor. Add value. Rather than be part of the culture of mourning and complaining and criticizing and whining culture, let's be a people that adds strength and joy amongst us. Can you stand with me? You know, when I was preparing this message, God really impressed upon my heart the word joy, and some of us have lost it. We started to doubt our purpose. We question why we are here. And we start to settle into our normal routine and life. And when that happens, we start to question God and say, God, are you still here? You still love me? You still hear me? We lose the joy of our salvation. That fire that once was started is now dim into coals and embers. And I believe God is simply saying with us today that I want to restore the joy of your salvation. And there's that song again, you know, it says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. And God wants to renew a right spirit within each and every one of us today. For those of us that have accepted Jesus, we know that joy, and we've experienced it. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But if you're someone here today who don't know the joy and the peace that I've been talking about this morning, it can only come by being in right standing with God. Your word says that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be made right with God and we will be saved.
Yes.
So today, church, are you right with God? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Because if you have, then this is the moment where we can lean in and we could say, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You know, and if you are not right with God today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And why don't we all just pray this anyway, so that we're all together. Say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I am sorry for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. Please change me from the inside out.
Help me follow you all the days of my life.
I believe and I declare that I am forgiven,
that I am accepted,
that I am made clean,
that I am made new.
I belong,
and I am your child.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. If you have said that prayer, why don't you give everyone a clap this morning? If you're online this morning and you say that prayer, we want to know that you've accepted Jesus. Make sure you click on the link on that comment below, and one of our team of pastors will come and actually contact you and help you on your way on this faith journey called life. And if you are in this room today and if you've said that prayer and you just want to be right with God, or if you've lost salvation, please come and see me straight after. So I'll be right here and I'll be waiting for you. And I just want to congratulate you and say hi, say you have, that's the best decision that you've made. Well, church, we're going to conclude with a joyful song today. I think it's very fitting, don't we? So why don't we just lean in and just sing this song, and let's go.